I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The Ebola outbreak in West Africa isn't over yet, but it's slowed down enough to allow for the lifting of some restrictions in the three hardest-hit nations, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. In Sierra Leone, for example, it's now okay to go to sporting events and public gatherings for the first time in over a year. And the curfew that kept people from going out at night has been lifted. Amy Maxman traveled to Sierra Leone during the worst of the crisis. She returned again last month to find the country and its capital, Freetown, slowly coming back to life.
The beachfront bars were packed, and during the day on Sunday, you could just hear songs and people shouting. And the city's hilly, kind of like San Francisco, so the sound just bounces off different hillsides. The atmosphere just felt more positive and a lot lighter than it felt in February.
Now, you followed the stories of several people who work in Sierra Leone's healthcare system, and we're hoping you can tell us about a few of those individuals. I know you met a young nurse named Benjamin. He worked in Sierra Leone's biggest referral hospital in Connaught. How has his attitude to Ebola and his country's response to it changed from December to now?
Back in February, he was leery of the vaccine trial that hadn't yet started. He wasn't sure that outside parties had the nurse's best interests in mind. And it's experimental, so there wasn't safety, wasn't proven on the vaccine. He was just tired, so why would he now want to volunteer to be a guinea pig in a study?
So how had things changed for him when you saw him just last month?
He was excited to tell me that actually he decided to volunteer after all. He had seen a number of his colleagues take the vaccine. Nothing bad had happened to them right away. So he then felt confident that, you know what, this is perhaps for my welfare, so I'll do it.
You also remained in close touch with a lab technician, Mohamed Eske, in Kenema, the country's third largest city. He'd actually contracted Ebola. What was his situation when you saw him in February and then again just last month in July?
When I saw Eske a few weeks ago, when I saw him in July, I could tell that he was a lot more withdrawn than I had really noticed before, because he's really quite a friendly guy. His eyes were clearly cloudy in the front. You could see that there was some sort of problem, and he'd had some blurred vision. Now, he had been treated for that with steroids. The steroids cost about $30. Now, most of his friends who were survivors couldn't afford that treatment. So there's a lot of vision problems that are going untreated because people can't afford the $30 treatment. And even though his eyes were now getting better, he said he was having some hearing problems. The only positive thing was that he could talk about it with other survivors, and they're sort of feeling a lot of the same things too. Partly that's because some people might be afraid of them. There's some stigma. But it's possible that's actually a post-Ebola symptom. Depression could be something that's coming up.
Sounds like he finds community with other people who've struggled with it.
He pointed out that one thing that's been hurtful to him is repeating the stories of being in the treatment unit. It brings him back to this place that must have been nightmarish. I mean, you see patients beside you dying, and there's a thought that could be you. So every time he has to repeat these stories, he goes back to that place. And he let me know that that's really difficult.
Hmm. Now, Amy, hundreds of millions of dollars of international aid found its way to West Africa after the Ebola outbreak. From what you saw crisscrossing the country this summer, what's the legacy of that aid?
The reason I spent a lot of time at public hospitals is because that's what continues. Those are the structures made of concrete that are there. And even though there's a lot of problems with them, that's where people go. Whereas these huge Ebola treatment units, these white tents that were put up, somebody should assess what kind of impact those had. They often treated, you know, fewer than a couple hundred patients. When I was driving east, I stopped at a very large center. I think, you know, at least $40 million was put into it from the UK. And it's abandoned. It's up in the mountains. It's beautiful. It's all these pristine white tents with gravel beneath it. And I don't think there's any patients there. It's a ghost town now. It's kind of abandoned. So there's talk about what to do with the structures. But the fact is they're tents. So they're not going to stick around forever.
Finally, Amy, there was a woman in Sierra Leone you were especially worried about after you met her in February. Her name is Zainab. She was 24. And just before the Ebola outbreak, she'd finally landed a job she wanted in the Kenema government hospital. But then she found herself pregnant. What happened to her in those dark days of the Ebola outbreak?
She's small. Her belly was huge. She was lacking a lot of pay. She had worked really hard. And she was in the third trimester. She looked exhausted, and she was really concerned about missing pay, and she was worried about, you know, maybe working in the Ebola ward. Could that have hurt her child-to-be?
And then you saw her again last month. How's she doing now?
Well, I drove up to the house where she was living last in Kenema, and she came running out, came running down the hillside, waving to me. Her husband came out carrying this baby boy, and she was just, Zainab was just glowing. She had ended up getting married to the father of her child, and she held her baby, and she was truly happy to be a mom, and she was just glowing with that, and she had just been married a week before, and they all looked really happy to be together. They showed me a video of their wedding.
And her baby boy is healthy?
And her baby boy is healthy. She named him Prosperity.
That's great. Amy Maxman is part of the Global Health Reporting Team working on The Next Outbreak, a collaboration of the Ground Truth Project and Nova Next. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks.